comedian Mike Birbiglia returns to Wharton Center this Thursday. He's known for his work on This American Life, his movie called Sleepwalk With Me, and many more comedy records and appearances. His latest show is called Thank God for Jokes. And Current State's Melissa Benmark got to talk to Mike Birbiglia a few weeks ago. Hi, Melissa. What was this like?
Oh, Mark, he has got to be up there with in the top three most fun people to talk to ever. I mean,
great.
he's like your best friend, your funniest best friend.
Okay.
And he was here, actually. He likes Michigan. He likes touring in Michigan. He's starting his tour out here. And the last time I talked to him was February of 12 when he was last at Wharton Center. And at that time, I found out that the only thing that he has more passion for than comedy is pizza. Wanted to open a pizza parlor since he was 8 years old. So this time when I talked to him, I had to ask his opinion on a trendy new pizza ingredient, Brussels sprouts.
I will protest that to the end. I will be picketing in the streets, Brussels sprouts pizza.
Good for you.
It just takes, I feel like you're shooting pizza in the foot with that one. You're not helping pizza soar and feel better about itself. You're reminding it of the health value it doesn't have.
One thing I wanted to ask you, you're starting out this tour in Traverse City.
In Michigan?
In Michigan. This never happens to us. This is so cool.
I know. What have I done? And not only that, I'm starting in Traverse City. It's like what comedian goes on tour and says, I am starting my 100-city tour in Traverse City, Michigan. Woo! I love Traverse City. I love Lansing and in Royal Oak. But I think that's part of the reason it's been so popular so far. And it seems like these shows are going to be packed. The Traverse City show is about to sell out, and the Lansing one is going to be packed. And Royal Oak is almost sold out. And I think it's honestly, people just want to go somewhere. They need to go somewhere. And so if it's as cold as it is, then I think that you're ahead of the game. It's a good selling point. It's a bold weather choice for
there
me to make.
A bold weather choice.
It
like
is
that.
A bold weather choice, yeah.
So I was doing a little research on your upcoming show and saw the first line of some article that described you as America's favorite sleepwalker. Of course, associated with the
I love that, yeah.
Sleepwalk sure. With me. But, I mean, seriously, how does that happen when you've got a particular story or several that's really strongly associated with you? How do you get people to kind of move on from that?
It's so strange. You know, it's like my new special, which is on Netflix and iTunes and everything, it's called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, and it is all about how I decided to get married despite not believing in the idea of marriage. It's really kind of this elaborate rant about marriage and how I don't believe in it, and then ultimately the events that led me to get married. And it's actually, you know, it's based on a piece that I did originally on This American Life called Return to the Scene of the Crime, where I was hit by a drunk driver and made to pay for the drunk driver's car, and about how I was obsessed with being right. And thematically, it's tied into the thing with marriage of being obsessed with being right and that marriage doesn't make sense. And here's all the reasons and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I think ultimately, over time, I think between My Girlfriend's Boyfriend and Thank God for Jokes and all the other things that I plan to do in the future, I think over time that'll fall away. I do think in the short term, it's like, you know, I had a movie that was seen by, you know, probably 3 or 4 million people around the world. And so, and it's called Sleepwalk With Me. So inevitably people are going to be like the guy who sleepwalks.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, so, yeah, I get that a lot. Everyone's favorite sleepwalking comedian. It's like, as though that who I am, like I walk around in pajamas holding a teddy bear,
right.
You know, everywhere
right.
I go.
It's like Larry the Cable Guy coming out and saying, get her done. And then saying, okay, pay me my money. I'm done.
Yeah, I feel like people, if that's what they're expecting, they're going to be gravely disappointed in the show. Because I don't even talk. I mean, what's funny is these publications saying everyone's favorite sleepwalking comedian. I come to town. I'm not going to tell that story. I have all new story.
This will be a 100% sleepwalking free show.
Exactly.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. Tell us about the process of putting it together. I mean, you don't just like write a script and then just do the script at all of the show. I mean, how does something like this come together?
I've been writing this show over the course of about 2 years. I do these little shows off the radar called, I call them Working It Out. And it's I do them at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York and Union Hall, which is actually the place where in Sleepwalk With Me, my character, Matt Pandemiglio, is a bartender at the Union Hall. And I write a lot of stuff and I put it on stage, and the stuff that I always say at the end of the shows, you know, thanks for coming out. If, you know, you'll come see this in 6 months and it'll be different and you'll go, that's funnier and that's funnier and that's better. And then inevitably you'll go, what about that bit? What about that story? Where's that? And the answer is that it's gone. And the reason is because of you. And I want you to think about that. And because it's true. Like I put tons of stuff in front of audiences, and if it doesn't work, it just goes away. I mean, it's just like trial. It's just a trial and error. It's the thing about stand-up that you can't get away from, no matter how much success you've had, is that there's just failure in it. There's just a ton of failure to get to the stuff that really, really works.
Well, and that whole narrative of the people who do stand up saying that there's this agonizing period of time where you just feel about 2 inches tall because about half of what you do, maybe, you know, just nobody laughs. Nobody gets it.
Yeah, because audiences don't lie, you know, especially comedy audiences. They laugh or they don't laugh. And laughing, I think, is a real visceral response. It's a very physical thing. I mean, that's actually one of the reasons the show's called Thank God for Jokes, is the theme that emerged when I was working out all of these jokes is my initial impulse was I wanted to kind of return to form in terms of my first album. My four albums to date are Two Drink Mike from 2006, and then My Secret Public Journal Live, and then Sleepwalk With Me Live, and then My Girlfriend's Boyfriend Live, which just came out this year. And I wanted to get back to Two Drink Mike, which was like all jokes and stories. And the title bit from that one is that when I drink, I don't drink a lot because when I drink, I become another person. Like, Two Drink Mike loves dancing and knows a magic trick. Zero Drink Mike enjoys biographies and has serious opinions about wildlife. Five Drink Mike enjoys dancing with wildlife. And so I always had this dream, like, wouldn't it be funny if I released an album called Five Drink Mike? And it was just like, it was essentially Two Drink Mike on crack. And so the more I started writing it, the more I was like, you know, so much of what I'm writing is just about jokes and about comedy itself and about why we laugh and what's special about it and how comedy kind of makes us all in some ways feel closer to people. And that's why I named it Thank God for Jokes, you know, because I actually think that in some weird way, almost like a religion, I think that humor is like a uniting factor. Like I feel like so often, like when you talk to strangers, like you can't really make a joke because it'll make things weird or awkward. But then if you do take a risk and go out on a limb and make a joke with someone, it actually can make you feel closer to them than you possibly could ever imagine.
Tell me something that you find inexplicably funny. There are explicably funny things, and then there are things that just doesn't make sense, but you will die laughing every time you see this or it happens.
Well, I think the funniest jokes are inside jokes. I think the funniest jokes are like jokes you have with, like jokes I have with my brother or my wife. Like, you know, like with my wife, for example, we laugh at so many things that no one thinks are funny other than me and my wife and our cat. Because when you have a cat, your barometer for humor is out the window. You know, earlier this year, I was like, we were going on a trip to Massachusetts, and I said, Ivan, that's our cat. I go, Ivan, we're going to Catsachusetts, which is not funny, but in our house was the joke of the year. I was like, we're going to Catsachusetts. My wife is like, ah. I was like, ah. Our cat's like, ah. And everyone loves a good pun when you have a cat. And we went to Catsachusetts, and we had this whole sort of run-in with a mouse and all this stuff. And it, honestly, there's a thing that I feel like you can't put your finger on, which is when you're close to someone, you have a shorthand for humor that requires very little, very few words. And I feel like that is sort of magical. I think that and I try to get that across in my show. My goal with Thank God for Jokes is to create a feeling where all, 1,000 people or so who are in the room together are experiencing this single inside joke all at the same time. And to me, that's a really special experience. So that's what I think is kind of magical about live comedy performance, is that kind of for that one night, all the people in the room are experiencing the same thing at the same time, and that's a special thing.
How do you deal with age differences, though? I mean, that's got to be kind of, because not only do people of different ages have different ideas about what constitutes comedy, i.e. my father is like, Carson, comedy. Letterman, not funny. You know?
Sure, yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
I've had this recently where I've been telling a story about the Muppets, and I performed at a college last week, WPI, and they didn't really know the Muppets.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, no.
You're in your 30s. You're already getting the young people today don't understand.
Isn't that amazing? I couldn't believe it. I mean, and they did a remake of it, a recent Muppets movie, but apparently that didn't hit with the college-age kids because I had this whole thing about how I had to follow Fozzie Bear and about how Fozzie Bear is actually... he's a really good comedian, and he's, and even when he's not good, he's good because he's got that joke parachute catchphrase, waka, 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 which is like his get her done. And I did this whole thing, and it's a little bit on deaf ears with college students. And so it's a challenge, you always have to look for the human aspect of what you're writing. You always have to go, okay, if that doesn't connect with people of all ages, then what part of the story does connect?
Well, I also think there's the Jim Henson Muppets and the post Jim Henson Muppets, and
very different.
Those of us of a certain age, you're right. There's just no comparison.
Yeah.
So, I guess you did Carnegie Hall. What was that like?
I did. It was everything that I would hope that it would be. I feel like nothing in my life lives up to the expectations that I have for them, but that one was exciting. And then I gave out, I handed out free ice cream in the street to 2,000 people after the show. Me and Ira Glass and Anna Bass and Monica Bill Barnes, who performed with Ira, their dancers who performed with Ira, and they opened up the show. And then afterwards we handed out ice cream. We wore these sort of like ice cream, the old-timey ice cream kind of like custard hats. And handed out ice cream in the street, and I can't tell you how happy people are when you perform a comedy show for them and then give them ice cream. It was a magical experience. And then my parents came, which was nice because they don't come to a whole lot of shows, but when you perform at Carnegie Hall, they don't have a lot of excuses. There's not much you can say.
Wow.
To get yourself out of that one. So they came to the show, and it was a really special night. It was great.
Comedian Mike Birbiglia joined us by phone from New York. For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.